people is actually what it does, lad.
Yeah, I know.
The most exciting times of my natural life was when I was younger and I had to leave my gaff, I would say 11, 12, 13, 14, adolescent years, and in order to see my friends, I had to knock on the door and ask, was that girl in?
Yeah.
You know, like, times were so much fucking better. Now everyone, they walk around like they're after being dragged up out of a grave because they don't even get any sunlight anymore.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave it there, guys, because we've got the news at 10 o'clock to take. So it's been
problemo.
It's been great talking to you, Tina.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Thank you all very much. Facebook's like a psychiatric unit. Oh, that's great. Oh, it's actually not far from the truth in many respects. 087-188-0008 for Nighttime Talk. If you'd like to give us a shout, if you want to join in the conversation tonight. Now, we'll stick with the whole idea of banning phones. But coming up shortly, we're going to be talking about nursing homes and your stories and how you feel about possibly having to maybe convince a parent that it's time that they considered going into a nursing home, okay? And if you've had to make that decision, if you've had to have that conversation, I'd love to talk to you. 087-188-0008.
Nighttime Talk. Call us now on 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Previously on Colm and Lucy in the Morning.
Margaret, are you joking?
No, this is not a joke.
It's not a joke, people.
Colm mightn't like it.
Oh, oh no, now you've piqued my interest.
We're thinking, how many times have you dyed your hair?
Hey, back off there. Oh my God, all morning we were trying to get Lucy to laugh. That's all it took.
Margaret wants
once
to know the truth.
In my life, because of you.
Twice.
Once.
The first time you went orange.
Colm and Lucy in the morning. Weekdays from 6 a.m. with Noyx Newmans. For your kitchens, floors, decks and doors.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Enjoy a truly unique getaway and explore Inishmore on the Aran Islands. Stay in one of our Seaview bedroom chalets on the elevated grounds of the hotel, overlooking Killeany Bay and Kilronan Harbour. Experience Inishmore and the island way of life with a two-night digital detox during midweek break that's guaranteed to recharge your batteries. All for €75 B&B per person sharing per night at the Aran Islands Hotel. Call Aran Islands Hotel on 099-611-04 to book.
Working in the trade, you need suppliers you can always rely on, and ETAG will never let you down. We're number one for construction supplies, stocking all the fixings, insulation, drywall, power tools, and general building supplies you'll ever need to get the job done. And we can deliver them next day too, with the technical knowledge you need and the friendly, excellent service you want. Why go anywhere other than ETAG? See our latest offers at etag.ie. ETAG. Consider it done.
The Carrick Dunn Summer Shopping Event is here. Enjoy 20% off almost everything in all departments this weekend. The stores are bursting with new season fashion, jewellery, gifts and homewares. Shop the 20% off in stores nationwide or at carrickdunn.com this weekend.
Getting to grips with a brand new smart speaker? Don't forget, you can use it to listen to your favourite radio station too. Just ask it to play Ireland's Classic Hits Radio for instant access to the home of the 80s and 90s.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk
with Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Nighttime Talk. Call us now on 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, I'm Megan Scully, and this is Crack August Kjol on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Imi Balthana, Milanigat Shaska Tho, Hon Marilyn Monroe, Happy Birthday, Mr. President, Egbrehla Uchtron America, John F. Kennedy. Imi Balthana, Hovilus at Tridig, V Sposra, Chris Hadfield, Ispos, August, Hon Shea, Space Oddity, O David Bowie. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. E Hovilus a shop, host Amy Winehouse, Blake Wilder in Miami. Imi Balthana, Milan Egat, Nora Hoft, Four Share, August Sunny, Railed, Erin Hollywood, Walk of Fame. That's Crack August Kyole on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Across Cork, Limerick, Clare and Galway.
On your phone.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Good evening, I'm Aidan Delaney. Slovakia's Prime Minister is in a life-threatening condition after being shot several times in a suspected assassination attempt. President Michael D. Higgins says he's shocked, while European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen has called it a vile attack. It happened after Robert Fico attended a government meeting in the town of Handlova. Brano Savatsky from Radio Express Europe in Slovakia says Fico was aware of growing political tensions in the country.
Only a few weeks ago, Robert Fico publicly stated that he has afraid that the government politician would be assassinated. This is how Prime Minister commented on the atmosphere in Slovakia after the presidential elections. But I don't want to say that this is because he said something like this.
Gardaí have renewed their appeal for witnesses to a fatal shooting in Dublin earlier this month. 20-year-old Josh Itzeli was fatally wounded in the attack in Drimna. Gardaí wished to speak to the driver of a dark-coloured saloon taxi which drove on the Knocknaree Road towards the junction with Mourne Road in Drimna between 12 midnight and 10 past 12, and a red-coloured saloon taxi which drove on Sperrin Road between the junctions of Knocknaree Road and Mourne Road in Drimna at the same time. The driver of this taxi was a male and may have been dropping off or collecting a fare at Sperrin Road at the time. Gardaí are to increase their roads policing numbers by 150 over the next 2 years. The Oireachtas Transport Committee heard they'll be recruited from existing force members rather than taking graduates directly from the Garda College in Temple Moor. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris confirmed to the committee that the number of officers in roads policing had dropped by over 400 since 2009. And the Dáil has heard claims that the health service is very well resourced but does have its issues. Former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said in a debate on delivering universal healthcare that there needs to be pushback against people who use resources as an excuse for inadequacy in the health service. And that's your news for now.
Ireland's weather.
With McCarthy Insurance Group. For better value, home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance in 2024. MIG.ie.
It will be mostly dry tonight with clear spells as showers become isolated. Some mist and fog could form with lowest temperatures down to between 6 and 11 degrees. Europe Today to the home of What Did Lucy Kennedy Say to Colm Hayes? Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, Nighttime Talk on the home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Gareth O'Callaghan with Nighttime Talk for a Wednesday night. I hope you're well and that you're enjoying the show. If you would like to get involved in the conversation tonight, it's 087-188-0008. That's WhatsApp, 087-188-0008. Just before we come back to the topic this evening, OK? I see Unpussed has been named the most reputable organisation in Ireland over the last 15 years, with credit unions topping the rankings for 2024. Isn't that wonderful? Credit unions and Unpussed. Two organisations that rarely get the credit they deserve, pardon the pun, but it's lovely to see that they are so highly regarded by the people who use their services, and so many people rely on both. I was on Bear Island for the last few days in West Cork, just outside of Castletown. Bear, beautiful, 20 to 30 minutes sailing across the Bear Sound there to the island, and a couple of lovely days, wonderful people, just an amazing place. If you want to switch off, and when I say switch off, I mean literally switch off. You know, if you kind of tend to think you're having a heart attack because there's no Wi-Fi, it's probably not the place to go. But I just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. More on that later. But the post office there is probably, it's at the very heart of the community. It's where people get their money transferred to, because obviously there are banks in Castletown Bear. There are no banks in Bear Island. So the post office there is the lifeblood for so many of the 200 inhabitants on the island. And that swells considerably during the summer when the tourists arrive for the months of July and August and the schools close. So the post office is busier than ever. So it's great to see that the post office is being named the most reputable organisation over the last 15 years. And as I say, then for the last, the last 6 months, credit union topping the rankings. This long-running RepTrack study, which measures the level of trust, admiration, esteem and good feeling that the public has for 100 of the largest, most familiar and most important organisations in Ireland, found that Unpost has posted the highest average score over the period since 2010. The state-owned postal and financial services company, which came fourth in the 2024 study behind credit unions, Lidl Ireland and Boots Ireland, has consistently scored strongly, being seen to act for the common good, improving the quality of life across communities and transforming itself into a sustainable business, according to the reputations agency which compiles the study. Now, who's at the bottom? Well, RTE, the crisis-stricken broadcaster, has suffered the largest reputational decline over the last 15 years. Are we surprised? Dropping from 67th in 2010 to 99th. This is in the top 100. In 99th position in 2024, with only Elon Musk's social media app, Twitter, now known as X, now ranked below it. OK, so at 99, it's RTE. At number 100, it's Twitter, stroke X. And up there, number one, credit unions in Ireland. And number four, delighted to see Unpost. And interesting that in two and three positions, Lidl Ireland and Boots Ireland. Great news for those who do so well. RTE, I think it's going to be a slow one coming back. Now, our number is 087-188-0008. We're going to talk for a little while about nursing homes this evening. It's a very contentious issue for so many different reasons, and particularly during COVID, when a lot of residents from the nursing homes died as a result of complications caused by the... And some of these were underlying illnesses and conditions that caused huge complications caused by the coronavirus. And I'm wondering, not so much about the COVID period, but just generally your feelings about nursing homes now, compared maybe to nursing homes long, long ago. Now, you got to remember that the nursing home now is facing huge challenges, challenges that they never would have faced many, many years ago. And the challenges facing the sector in Ireland have been well publicised. In the last 12 months, the closure of nursing homes has been a huge concern for those working in the sector and also for the residents and families availing of nursing home services. So I'd like to hear your views, your stories, your feelings, the things that worry you. You know, late at night when you're thinking of your mom, your dad, perhaps your brother, your sister or a relation in a nursing home, are they okay? Are they resting? Are they happy? Have they settled into the home? Have they made it a way of life? Have they made friends? Do they feel comfortable and safe? Kathy, good evening to you.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And thanks for joining us on Nighttime Talk. It's great to chat to you. Tell me tell me about your nursing home story, Kathy.
It's not so much a nursing home as a hospice.
Okay.
But I won't mention the name, okay?
Okay, thank you.
But just before COVID, my husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was taken to a local hospital, and all I can say is he was treated so well. You've no idea. Because he was over the, he was 70 or something, he was had a medical card. Mm. And the medical card made no difference whatsoever. They knew how ill he was, and he was in a private room, television, everything. And then I made the biggest mistake of my life, because some people went in from a hospice and said it might be a good idea for him to go down there and spend some time in the hospice. He couldn't come home because I wasn't really able to help him move around. You know, there wouldn't be room in the bedroom for the wheelchair thing.
Cathy, sorry, just before you go any further, just I'm a bit confused here. Your husband, first of all, went to a residential home, is that right?
No, he went into hospital. He was extremely violently ill.
Okay, he was in hospital, and then it was suggested he goes to the hospice.
No, they discovered in the hospital he was riddled with cancer.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I just got a little confused there, but keep going.
Yeah, but they were so good to him. That's what I was saying to you. They put him into a private room in this hospital, which I think is amazing. Some person went in when I wasn't in there one day and suggested he went to a local hospice.
Okay.
He said he'd prefer to go home, but we couldn't really get him to the bathroom if he was home, you know, that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the, he could use a walk-in frame to get in. But it's the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. And even now, 5 years later, I regret it every day. Because as soon as he moved into the hospice, I was stupid. I didn't notice that when he was in the hospital, he'd had a rotating bed.
Mm.
Because he'd lost so much weight, his bones were hurting. They forgot to turn the bed on, okay?
Oh, dear.
So he was in a lot of... He was in extreme pain.
Mm.
But the most degrading thing was later on that night, he just said he was able to talk, okay? I need to get into the bathroom for me to bring over the wheel thing. And a certain person that worked in this hospice said, no need for that. And she said, we'll put a nappy on you.
Mm.
Now, for a man of 70 years of age, that was the most degrading, horrific thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay, 3 days later, he died.
He gave up. I'm sorry to hear that, yeah.
And so am I.
Did you?
I'm living with this every bloody day. If I had insisted or had the brain to say, oh, no, can he please stay in the hospital just for a bit longer? He gave up, okay? He gave up. The insult and the way that when he wanted a drink of water, instead of giving him a drink of water, no, we'll just put it on your lips. I regret this. Every day for 5 years. I should have been more... I shouldn't have trusted people. I should have been more with it.
Well, but you were... Well, from what you tell me, you were very much... You were very much with it.
I wasn't actually, because I didn't accept he was dying. I couldn't accept he was that ill. But I wish to God I just said, okay, please, can you just let him die in the hospital, where he had dignity, where he could be helped to go to the toilet, where he wasn't forced to wear a nappy. I let him down, and I have no time for hospices after what happened there, ever. Mm. And if I was told tomorrow I had, God forbid, cancer or whatever, there is no way I'd let myself be put into a hospice to degrade people, not to even turn the bloody bed on for him. They forgot. But then no, you wear a nappy here. For fuck's sake.
And
I'm just getting a bit upset
That's perfectly okay. No, no need to apologise. Did you bring it to their attention that the bed hadn't been switched on?
No, it was the man who came around later on at night offering us alcoholic drinks, believe it or not. And I said, my husband's so uncomfortable, because we could hear him moaning, and he went, that bed isn't turned on. See, I should have known. I've been looking at him for 3 months in the hospital with the bed. I should have done it. I blame myself.
And did they...
The indignity. No, you can wear a nappy now. Fuck's sake, seriously.
Mm.
In other words, this morning you were up in a brilliant hospital where... You know, people were so good to you, and they'd even mash up his food for him, and I'd go up and feed him. They were so good. But in this place, it was as if they just said, oh, we need the bed, get him down there and just get rid of him. 3 days later, he died. I think he gave up.
Yeah. Do you know, I can't remember the last time I heard a bad story about one of our hospices. Now, I'm sure there are occasional bad stories, but
all I hear is
how wonderful the staff are at caring for individuals who are in extremis, who are in very, very bad situations. And I just...
Maybe we just hit it wrong. We hit it wrong with people that didn't turn the bed on.
Yeah.
A nurse who decided nappy time. I don't know. But I have to say, while I'm on, though, the Galway Hospice is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. The people down there, such time for the patients and talking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The door to my husband's room was constantly closed. But when my brother was the one in Galway, door was open, people going in, chatting to him and everything.
Yeah. Cathy, stay with me. Maureen is on the line. Good evening to you, Maureen. Are you there, Maureen? Hello, Maureen. Hello, Maureen. Can Maureen hear me? You're getting the delay there. So, Cathy, that was 5 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
And did they offer any sort of explanation or any apology afterwards?
They said, oh, yeah, the bed should have been turned on last night. And then I said to them, what's the story with the nappy? And I could see he was getting distressed. And they went, yeah, well, we're very busy here, so it's easier for us if he wears a nappy. But how come in the hospital it was okay? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, Cathy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, how come in the hospital, it was okay for the nurse or anyone, people that were in, to just help him go into the bathroom? So he had a bit of dignity, for God's sake.
Mm. And would it have been possible for you to wheel him into the bathroom, or did the staff object to that?
No, I just said that he needs to go to the bathroom, just checking where the walker was, so that, you know, we could help him get out. It took him ages to get out of the bed, but because he'd lost so much weight. But he was used to... I mean, that morning in the hospital, he'd gone to the toilet in the bathroom. Suddenly, 5 o'clock at night, he's made wearing a nappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and was that just an individual? It wouldn't be a reflection on the entire staff, I assume.
I don't know. He died on the Saturday morning, and in my opinion, it was just... get him out as soon as possible. No, I have no... I regret it every day. I wish he'd stayed in the hospital and died with dignity. Yeah, dignity.
But maybe that wouldn't have been... You wouldn't have been able to decide that or make that decision. I presume that came from the hospital.
I know, but I made so many bad decisions then. One day he wanted... to go out in the wheelchair to go to a shop to get a suit for his coffin because he'd lost so much weight. And I just said, don't be ridiculous. You are not dying. A lot of it was my own fault.
Yeah, well, there's a huge element of denial in a situation like that. So, I mean, it's unfair to put all the blame on you.
Oh, no. Another night he asked me, he was a bit frightened in the hospital, and he asked me, they had a little bed beside him, would I stay the night?
Mm.
And my feet were all swollen from the heat in the hospital. And I just said, no, I'll be back into you tomorrow, though. And fair play to my daughter, she stayed at night.
All right. Okay. Yeah, Cathy.
No, I've had a lot of regrets, but that is probably the biggest one I've got in my life. His loss of dignity. He was a music teacher, for God's sake.
Mm.
Oh, it's horrific.
All right, Cathy, nice to chat to you. And I genuinely mean this, and I'm not just saying it. I really hope things get a little easier.
Ah, thank you. You're very kind. Thanks. Sorry for swearing as well.
Not at all. Sometimes you just have to. Thanks, Cathy.
Okay, thanks
Take
for
care.
Listening.
Have a good night.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you. Jessica, hi there.
Hiya.
Okay. Jessica's there. And John, you're also there. Hi, John. Hello, John. Is John there? I don't know whether John can hear me, actually. Maybe if we put John onto line.
Hello?
Hello. Hang on one tick there. John, now you should be able to hear me, can you? John? Jessica, you're there anyway. We'll get John on the line now in a moment.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Now, we're talking about nursing homes and the regrets people have, and also the joy that it brings to people to know that their parents and that their loved ones are well looked after and that they're happy. Because usually in nursing homes, you're going in long term. Now, I know particularly after accidents where people need rehabilitation and need a little bit of R&R, there can be short periods spent there. But in cases where it's long term, how do you feel about that? Have you had any experience with family?
I haven't, no, but I actually feel sorry for them in the homes. Like, they get a bad reputation. Because I know with me, and whether I was young or old, especially like if I get to my older years, I'd rather pass away in a nursing home than connected to a hospital bed full of everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the two environments are completely different. Like, dying in a hospital to me would be way scarier than dying at a nursing home.
Yeah, I think, and I don't obviously want to kind of lean too heavily on the hospice aspect of things, but the thing about...
No, but you know, like, sometimes suddenly you can just... Even if it was just a sudden heart attack, I'd rather have it in a nursing home than at a hospital, do you know what I mean?
You'd rather have it in a nursing home?
Yeah, no, because I just feel like the environments are just completely different.
But would they not be better equipped in a hospital environment to save you? Say, for example, as you say, if you have a heart attack.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's like more of a fear factor. Like I said, I'm not good with hospitals anyway.
All right, okay.
I'm 25 and I don't deal with them well anyway. So
yeah, well, a lot of people.
I think for me, it'd be more of a comfort.
Yeah, I think most people have a phobia about hospitals anyway.
But even if nothing really serious is wrong with you and you're kind of put in there for whatever reason, like, it'd be a way of just kind of living out last few years or living out whatever years you have left, be it a few or a lot, in comfort.
I agree. Yeah, and let me bring John in here. Say we are, Jessica. Hi there, John. Can you hear me, John? No, John can't hear me. Sorry, Jessica, we're trying to sort out John's line there. I don't know what's wrong.
Hi, Graham.
That's fine. But no, I fully agree with you in terms of the joy that a lot of people find in the right nursing home. And I know people who have lived out their last few years, in fact, longer in some cases.
I just feel like some of them, I feel like the reputation of them in general, I feel like has been kind of sullied. Because obviously, like, when you hear kind of horror stories about some of them, and then some of them that end up in the news, and you hear of nurses, like, you know, like, doing things to the patients, and then, like, it does kind of leave a sour taste. But it's like people just paint them all down with the wrong brush.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, because there are some that will go above and beyond for the people that are in their homes.
Oh, there are some fantastic nursing homes, and I know that there are one or two names, and they've become a brand of nursing home, and they are powerfully respected because of the care that they give to the patients and to the residents. But the problem with a lot of those homes is that they're either out of the price reach of a lot of people, or there's a waiting list to get into them. And, you know, when you're waiting to get into a nursing home, the last thing you want is to be on a list, a long list, trying to get in.
Oh, sure. Look at the hospitals. Like, to me, with the hospitals, you could get shot tomorrow, God forbid. You could be bleeding out and they'd still say, sorry, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, or you'll just have to wait a bit longer because we've no beds. That's very true.
And then by that point, you'd be dead.
Well, that's true also, yeah. Anyway, Sarah's on line one. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Gareth. Good evening.
Good evening to you. And we're talking about nursing homes. Have you any experience in terms of a family member or a friend?
Not so much family members, Gareth.
Yeah.
I'll first of all refer to my own experience. Now, I'm 50 years of age at present. But I go back to when I was 19. Now, I'm fully aware nursing home care has obviously improved since then.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a nursing home on the outskirts of Galway here, a private nursing home, may I add.
Please don't identify the home, okay?
Oh, no, I won't mention any names, but I'm just saying it's the outskirts of, in County Galway.
Yeah, no, that's actually very specific, so it does...
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
So, as I said, Gareth, I was 19, and I had intended on going in, and pursuing my career in nursing. However, that did not suffice due to different certain circumstances. Anyways, my story is, Gareth, my first night, I have four Jack Russells here that are quite excited. I've just come in from work. So my first night in the nursing home, firstly, as a care assistant, I was asked to present myself in a nursing, in a nurse's uniform, which I thought was a bit odd at the time. However, on my first night, and as a 19-year-old, I agreed to do so. A couple of the residents were sitting in the sitting room watching TV, and I went down to the kitchen to make them tea and toast, etc., before they retired, and I was rudely interrupted by a nurse who was in charge on the night, shouting at me that this was not proper practice. And when I queried it, she said, the kitchen is closed. I was horrified at this. I said, so this is supposed to be a home environment, so why is the kitchen, why are these people who are paying huge money in a private setting not permitted to have a simple basic need as in tea and toast, etc.? So obviously, as I said on my first night, Gareth, I turned around and went back to the kitchen and discarded of the food. I was then told the next morning, after finishing my night shift, when there was a poor gentleman, quite soiled, doubly incontinent in the bed, when I went to change him, I was told by the same nurse that it was not his day for his sheets to be changed. Are you telling me that this resident has to remain, who is doubly incontinent, in a soiled and wet bed? And she said that the manager would be very angry if I changed the sheets. It was not his day. So again, Gareth, I had to keep my trap shut, basically, and go home quite upset, may I add. The food in the nursing home was very, very basic.
Sarah, hang on. I'm going to have to take a commercial break here because I'm just looking at the clock. I'm losing track of time here. And I'll come back to you right after this, OK? So stay with me.
No problem.
Thank you, both you and Jessica. Now, 087-188-0008 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation this evening.
Nighttime Talk. Call us now on 0818-942-105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
The home of the Kim Wilde 80s Show. Weeknights from 6.
This is Kim Wilde, and if you love the 80s, you're going to love these next couple of songs I've lined up to play for you. From Paula Abdul. And the Human League are coming soon.
Monday to Thursday from 6 p.m.
on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio,
the home of the 80s and 90s.
The best heat-retaining glass in the world is now available in Ireland. The main part of any window is the glass. So why choose ordinary when you can choose Landvac glass? Landvac comes in single and double glazing and can be used in new or old windows. Its safety glass is standard with a U-value of 0.4 and comes with a 50-year life expectancy and 15-year warranty. Landvac. Insist on the best. Visit lvg.ie.
As an experienced driver, you appreciate the time you save knowing the local roads. The same is true when you're looking for a great value motor insurance quote. Munster Group Insurance will not only find you a great value quote, but will also treat you like a neighbour, not a number. Stay local. Call Munster Group Insurance on 065 68 41766. Munster Insurances and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group Insurance, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Grab your dancing boots and step on down to Nashville with Cassidy Travel. Immerse yourself in the vibrant sounds of country, blues and rock and roll. From honky-tonk bars to iconic landmarks, Nashville is the place to experience the soul of the South. Book now with Cassidy Travel, your one-stop travel shop, and let the rhythm of Nashville be your guide. CassidyTravel.ie.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk
with Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, our WhatsApp number again is 087-188-0008. I'm talking to Sarah and to Jessica about experiences, basically about nursing homes. That's our theme so far tonight. Sarah, if I can just ask you once again, see, we've got to be very non-specific in situations like this, where you're talking about specific experiences, So therefore, yes, we have to be non-specific about locations and about identifications, etc. So
I understand.
I don't want to know whether the place is still open or whether it's shut down years. So let's just talk about your personal experiences during your time there, without acknowledging anybody else, if that's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that was there was various other incidents, Gareth, which I you wouldn't have the time for me to be. There was, as I said, there was numerous other incidents. So as a result, it was causing me huge upset, so I had to leave the nursing home. Now, as I said, that's 31 years ago, Gareth. However, my two sisters and my mother are actually nurses. My sister worked in also a private nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say, Gareth, is the care was absolutely shocking. Mm. So it doesn't seem to matter if it's public or private. In actual fact, my uncle suffered dementia and he was in a public nursing home and the care was somewhat better. However, on numerous occasions, for example, once a week, I used to go down and visit him and I was greeted with him pacing the corridor in clothes he might have had, I know he had on him, for the guts of a week. He was dirty and shabby, non-shaven. His face was clearly covered in food that he would have had previous in the day or the night before, I'm not quite sure. But getting back to my own sister's experience, obviously I'm not going to speak solely on behalf of her, but from what she told me, and she would have worked in numerous nursing homes in her day in England and other countries in Europe. And again, she was deeply upset by the care that she was subject to as a nurse herself, trying to perform her daily tasks every day, somewhat proved very difficult. So in a nutshell, Gareth, in summary, I have elderly parents who thankfully are very capable, very agile, but they have a fear, with a capital F, of going into a nursing home. So I suppose for me and my sisters, we try to reassure them that hopefully to the best of our ability, that won't suffice. Now, I work in the ID sector myself, Gareth, and all I can say is the care is second to none, which it should be right across the board in the caring field. HICWA have obviously come on board in the last few years. They have introduced fantastic rules and regulations or whatever you'd want to call them. However, it has introduced its problems also. The nurses, and I speak for myself because we're under the umbrella of HICWA as well in the ID sector, we spend so much of our time filling out documentation that it can affect the residents in this sector. So I suppose, again, going back to what I just said, Gareth, me as a daughter with two elderly parents, I certainly wouldn't like to see either of my parents going into a nursing home, whether it's public or private.
And that's kind of at the core of what I was hoping to talk about tonight. And thank you, by the way, for sharing your experiences. I didn't want to put you off there, but we just have to be sensitive in terms
of course,
you know, identifying locations and names of homes and that, which I'd prefer not to do. But when you, and this is something I'm interested in, when your mum and your dad talk to you about their fears of spending the rest of their lives or their remaining years in a nursing home, what do they talk about? What are those fears?
Well, I suppose the fear of care, of the lack of care.
Of lack of care,
Now, whilst my mother, as I said, her whole career was nursing career, and in actual fact, she went on to do midwifery as well.
Mm.
So I suppose she'd be very familiar with what goes on in these nursing homes. Now, Gareth, I'm not putting them all under the same umbrella.
I imagine
there are nursing homes, you know, and also, may I add, I'm also aware of the lack of staffing in the sector, including our own sector. It's at a crisis point trying to get staff, you know, that are trained to come in and work in this field. Now, my parents, they do joke every now and again that they have a nursing home pot, but as I said, Gareth, I bless them. I am determined, and it's a promise I've made to myself and to my parents that, as I said, to the best of my ability. Excuse my Jack Russell Terriers.
I can hear them. They're never going to forgive you for this.
No, because I've just come in from a long shift and they just want my attention, and it's not happening.
Yeah.
So yes, I suppose from listening to our stories down through the years, well, my sister's stories and My daughter also worked in a nursing home briefly in the UK to put herself to university, and again, she was so upset by the poor quality of care that she actually left the nursing home, and she reported the nursing home to the relevant authorities.
Yeah.
She said that there was 8 or 9 residents that she was feeding. I hate that word, feeding, but that's what people say, unfortunately. And she said that they were not given a choice. And when she addressed it with her seniors that Johnny or Julie didn't eat X, Y, and Z, she was told that's what's on the menu today. They can more or less like it or lump it, you know. And so I suppose, Gareth, I have a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Now, again, I just want to reiterate, like every area of industry, I'm aware that there are nursing homes, I'm sure, that can offer sufficient care, you know, to the highest quality. So that's my... I could go on, Gareth, but I won't. I know you have other listeners to give an opportunity.
By the way, Gareth,
yes. I have wanted to speak to you for years, and I was so delighted when you came back on the radio after your illness.
Thank you so much.
It's great to chat to you, and it's great to know that you're back.
Thanks so much, Sarah. And I hope I didn't put you off, you know, the whole theme on the topic there. But it's just, unfortunately, see, I'm under pressure here to kind of walk a thin line. So that means my listeners have to walk that thin line with me. But do you know something? It's a happy outline. And we're doing fine. But thank you so much. And I hope the Jack Russells now. I hope there's a nice supper waiting for them, is there?
All 4 of them, my 4 rescues.
We have two. And you know something? The minute they hear the voices, particularly my wife's voice, they just know that the world is at peace again. So,
yes, they hear my classic hits coming down the road blaring, and they all start barking. So yes.
Yeah. Great to chat to you, Sarah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now. Thank you. Maureen, how are you?
Hi, Gareth.
Nice to talk to you. And I think, Jessica, you're still there, Jessica.
I am, yeah.
Good. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I'll bring you back in a minute. Maureen, you had a couple of situations as well, didn't you?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And once again,
I just want to remind you, just please don't identify locations or residential homes Thank you.
No. I had one with my father. But I was caring for him. Now, my mother wasn't too well at the time, but, you know, I was caring for him, and he was getting little mini strokes and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, I just couldn't keep him at home. So he had to go into a certain place. So the first week he went in, he seemed okay. You know, he was able to sit up in bed and that and everything. So the second we were up to see him most days because I was working. So when I come home from work, I'd bring my mother up to see him because my girls were small. So the second week, he had been moved to a back ward. He was lying in the bed, Gareth. Now he too had a nappy on him. The man didn't know where he was. His lips were blistered and bleeding. And my mother just sat on the bed and she said to me, look at his lips. And I said, you stay there now, ma'am. I said, I'll be back in 2 seconds. Mm. I went out, got a nurse, found a nurse. I said, come in here. Look at him. Look, when did my father get a drink last? I said, look at his lips, I said. Blistered and bleeding. And a glass of water. So I had to sit, Gareth, and get a cotton bud and dab his lips and get some water into him. And I warned her. I said, I come up here another day. I said, if I see him like that again, I said, you'll be out of a job. Mm. I was livid. Absolutely livid. But he didn't last long after that. Whatever happened in the space of the week that he was sitting up in the bed, fine, until the following week, I don't know, didn't get any explanation either. So that was my dad. So my mum, I was caring for her then, but then, you see, I couldn't, they were bringing the hoist, you know, that time you'd need 2 people, so one couldn't operate it on their own.
Right.
But I kept her at home as long as I could. Until I had no choice but to, you know, put her where I thought she'd be cared for, same place. But then she'd been moved to Bantry too. She was in Bantry for a while because she wasn't that well, and I began to notice her going downhill. So I went up one day after
so
work.
So they brought her into hospital, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I went up one evening after work. Mm-hmm. I was up every evening after work. And she was sitting on the chair. And she said to me, they won't put me into bed. She said, and my back is very sore. And I said, well, ma'am, how long are you there? She said, I'm here. She said, all morning. She was there since she got out of bed in the morning in a chair. And she was in agony. So I said, I'll be back in a second, ma'am. So luckily, a matron was there when I went down to the office. And I said, may I have a word with you, matron? And I told her. I said, all right. She said, you go up the stairs now. She said, I'll be up there now. She said, in a couple of seconds. And she was. Mm. And I tell you, my mother was put into bed and she was never again put out in a chair.
Yeah, see, the pressure, I think...
Shocking.
It is, yeah. Well, you know what is also shocking is the pressure that the staff in the hospitals, particularly the hospitals, are under.
No, but I'm not giving names, but the one I'm talking about was not under any pressure at all.
Right, okay.
None whatsoever. And when I used to go up there, Garrett, do you know what the saddest part of it was? That there was people in there that could have been at home. There was nothing wrong with them. It was just as if their families had just put them there because they couldn't be bothered to look after them.
Well, you've hit something on the head there, Maureen, and that was a topic I was going to leave for maybe another night, but since you mentioned it, it ties in with this whole situation where you're right. A lot of families don't care. A lot of families have given up on their parents.
They have, yeah. They do. Then
and
I saw them for myself.
Yeah.
It's shocking. I saw them for myself. But then she had to go to Bantry, and then I spent a weekend with her in Bantry, and she died during that week. But the consultant told me, he said, I have a very funny feeling that your mother is really with cancer, but my mother was 83.
Right.
So he said, there's no point in me. I couldn't go looking. He said, she's too old and she won't survive. So she was sent back to here. And she died on the 3rd of August. That was our wedding anniversary. But what I witnessed, but you see, I'm like that, Garrett. I would not stand for my parents being treated like that.
Mm.
I just kicked up and I told a nurse, I said, you won't have a job, I said. Well, I'll see him in that state again.
You're perfectly right. And you know, you'll take that with you right through your own life, the fact that you stood up and you said, no, that's not tolerated. I'm not going to tolerate that kind of treatment.
And I did the same with my mother.
Yeah. And sometimes
I won't tolerate this.
I don't know why people don't do that. Some people will sit there and say, oh, no, I don't want to interrupt them because they might be dealing with someone who's far worse off than I am or than she is. That, but, you know, you wouldn't get that in the United States of America. You wouldn't get that in Canada or in Germany. But for some reason, we tend to kind of think, oh, no, I'm not going to get involved in this now. I'll sit here and be miserable.
Yeah, well, some people do, but
you
I'm
didn't.
Not one of them.
Yeah, and good for you.
Not one of them at all.
Good for you.
I would absolutely create merry hell.
Mm.
If I had to defend my parents and see that they got the proper care because they weren't getting it.
And how would you feel, you personally feel about moving into a residential home, to a nursing home?
I dread it.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because I've seen it. I've seen. What goes on there? I've seen the treatment they get. Just while we're talking it now, there's another home.
Yeah,
it's a lovely home.
Once again, be careful, you know. Just
I won't mention it.
Yeah, thank
I
you.
I won't mention it. It's a lovely home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's private. And in the height of the summer, because I go for a walk around, use a lovely ground, you can go for a walk. There isn't one patient, Garrett, sitting out in the sun in any given day, because I'm watching this. They're all inside behind the glass.
Mm.
I mean, is that what kind of carry on is that?
Well, it could be a safety issue. See, the problem is that if there are not enough staff to bring them out into the sunshine, one of the patients could fall and injure themselves to the extent
they could,
that...
They could, but I know the place I'm talking about where there's plenty of staff because there's plenty of money being paid there.
Right. Well, then that's a policy of that.
I just find it terrible that when people, maybe there are good places, but I think the majority of them aren't. And I think, you know, when poor, misfortunate people are put into these places, the way they're treated, sometimes I think they're treated that they're an inconvenience.
Hmm.
You know.
See, I have a theory. And some people might ring me up and say, you're bonkers, you don't know what you're talking about. But I believe that if you visit the individual who's related to you, who's living in the nursing home regularly, if you call in to spend time with them regularly,
yes,
that will keep their spirit up. And it also gives you the opportunity to check on the care that they're either being given or that they should be given and they're not.
Yeah, well, that's how I was able to check, because like I said, I'd call in after work, but then when my mother was, she was kind of, you know, she was going downhill. So I was starting work at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I'd be up to see her before I went to work. And I'd be up again when I finished work.
Right.
So, and we have the same with my father.
Well, you're brilliant. I genuinely mean that, because a lot of people wouldn't do that, Maureen. But I mean that's what love and care is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and I make sure she loved magazines. You know, she loved the magazines, and I'd go to the shop on my way up, and I'd bring her, you know, a dozen magazines, and I brought her a lovely little clock for her bedside bed because she loved clocks. And I still have the clock, and it stopped exactly at 10 minutes past one was the time she died on the 3rd of August, and that was my parents' wedding anniversary.
My goodness.
And it stopped at 10 past, just in memory of her.
Wow.
And I'd bring her fruit, and, you know, because, you know, they didn't get too much to eat either, I can tell you.
Mm. I want to bring Donal in here. Hi there, Donal.
Gareth, how are you?
Not too bad. Maurice, you're there as well. Good evening to you.
How are you doing, Gareth? Nice to hear you.
You too. Donal, you have a big regret.
I do. I'd have to pull in. I'm actually driving now.
Take a couple of minutes to pull in and just park safely. I'll chat to Maurice. Yeah, but you're welcome to come back.
20 seconds, I can pull in.
Yeah, just keep me on the line there and just take your time pulling
in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maurice, what are your experiences?
Yeah, my wife's mother went into a nursing home because of medical reasons, and it was give and take. Mostly good, but I seen the bad sides of it too, you know. The first thing my wife said to me when I got the phone call, I was ringing in about the situation in nursing homes. She said, I can't believe my mother stayed there for 4 years and it cost her £127,000.
What? How much?
£127,000 for 4 years.
£7,000 a year.
No, £127,000 for 4 years.
You can tell me maths are brutal anyway. Wow. God.
£127,000. I think it was nearly £3,000 a week.
That's 32.
And then there was also expenses on top of that.
£32,000 a year.
Yeah, for 4 years, which is £127,000. So it would my wife's mother's pension. For 4 years, she paid $57,000, and then she got the Fair Deals deal. And when the house was sold, £70,000 went back to the government.
Wow.
Out of the house sale. And I got another little bit of bad news today. I know of a person that I know who recently lost her mother through very sad circumstances. And her mother was a very well-to-do lady and very brainy and made sure our future was mapped out. And she's just after paying the government €100,000 in inheritance tax for what her mother left her after her mother's sudden death. What a disgraceful country. We're even robbing people when they're dead, never mind in nursing homes.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrific. Imagine a woman is going into the ground after dying suddenly left their daughter comfortable, and the government came along and said, sorry, your mother is dead, £100,000 inheritance tax. It's a disgrace, and we need change in this country.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you.
Getting back to the nursing homes, when my wife's mother was in Carmel, she should have passed before she got there. She was in the Manor Hospital and she was really sick. We got a miracle. We got her back out. And she couldn't live at home on her own. Mm-hmm. Her medical needs were more powerful than what we could look after her with, because I was very close to her, Gareth. There's not very many men in Ireland who said they loved their mother-in-law, and I loved her. And she was old school Dublin. And you probably know her because she's from the Navan Road, right?
Yeah.
And she was a beacon in the community. And I did a lot of work for her. And I brought her here, there, and everywhere because of the love that she gave to everybody. And the world is a better place with people like this lady. Mm. And I was walking with her one day, and we went somewhere to see a brother of hers. And she turned around to me and she said, you know what, son? I'm going to tell you something else. What's that, Carmel? She said, you're the feather in me wing.
Oh.
They don't make people like that anymore, Gareth.
No, they don't.
They don't. And she passed away. My wife rang me. We've lost Carmel now. I think it's 5 years, Carol, is it? 5 years this year. And she rang me and she said, Mama's just passed, Morris. And she said, she's the biggest smile on our face.
Wow.
So as far as I'm concerned, because of the life she had here, because of the good she done here, she got her reward when she passed into the spirit world.
Mm.
But I'm not going to let her experiences of a nursing home. It was okay, Gareth. It was okay. And I'll tell you something positive about Carmel. Would you mind if I tell you?
Yes, please do.
She was on the Navan Road down at the Papal Nuncio's house.
Mm.
Her daughter was singing in the choir for when Pope Francis was here. And Carmel was sitting there in her wheelchair. And I brought her down in an adapted vehicle that we could hire. And he got out of the car, Gareth, and he locked straight onto her. He came over to her. He blessed her. And he gave her a pair of rosary beads out of his pockets.
Wow.
And we had the photographs. So I came down 2 or 3 hours later to pick up Carmel and Mary. And I ran into the two of them on the Navan Road, just down past the Maxall garage. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. And I know the woman you're talking about as well. Yeah.
Good. And she was a saint, a walking saint.
She was.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my wife remembers growing up as a kid and you'd done the discos in the local hall.
I did.
There you go.
Snot's disco. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I came down and I picked up Carmel and Mary in the vehicle and the two of them looked at me. And I can only describe it to you. The two of them were after being hit by a bolt of lightning. It was life-changing for the two of them.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. And we have the photographs and it's a great memory. You know, at the end of the day, like I said to you, they don't make people like Carmel anymore. They were, Paddy even said it, he was married to her for years. Yeah. They broke the mold when they made you Carmel. And she looked after her husband all her life, like what Maureen was talking about, totally dedicated. And I just remind people on your show tonight, Gareth, you are who you are and you have what you have because of the people that brought you into the world and made you who you are today. And never forget that. Because you wouldn't be here only for your mother and father. If you have to put your parents into a home, research it, do it, go and look. Because we found some horrendous ones and we found a really good one. And another positive thing about Carmel, Gareth, was when the lady that owned the home found out what happened to her meeting the Pope, the next day she lined up all the residents in the lounge and they lined up and shook the hand of the woman that shook the hand of the Pope.
Bless her. Wow.
There you go.
Tell you.
You know?
Nothing like a bit
and
of...
And she's still looking after us today, Gareth. Looking after us today.
She is.
You know, she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I'm glad you knew her. And we were proud and very happy when my wife rang me and said, Mam's passed and she's the biggest smile. And she'll always be remembered for that. She loved your mum, by the way. This is my wife is telling me this now.
Yeah, well, Mars, my mum is probably listening now, and she'll know exactly who you're talking
good.
About.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm delighted. I'm delighted because I tell you what, I was at the funeral, right, and I had a very close friend of mine come up to me.
Mars, will you stay with me? Yeah. I've got to take the news. I'm a little bit late for it. I've got to take the news. But
are you sure?
If you're not too busy, please stay with me.
No, I'll stay with you.
Good man. Thank you. And Donald, I hope you're parked up. I'm coming back to you in a few minutes' time, OK?
OK.
Thank you very much. OK, 087-188-0008 is our number for Nighttime Talk here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. The news is coming up in a moment.
Nighttime Talk. Call us now on 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.